Warren Buffett, BlackRock, and other institutional players dominate investments in commercial aviation. Why? Because it's one of the most profitable and predictable alternative assets that exists. And it's not tied to other markets, such as real estate and the stock market. Is it safe? Well, imagine triple net leases to the likes of American Airlines and British Airways. Income is contractual and guaranteed by some of the biggest named airlines in the world. That's why this kind of investment was never available to the ordinary accredited investor. That is until now. Visit accesswealthaviation.com and check it out for yourself. Invest in an institutional team with over 200 plus years of combined investment experience in the aviation sector. Conservative investing with double-digit returns and tax advantages. That's accesswealthaviation.com. accesswealthaviation.com.
You are listening to the Wealth Formula Podcast with Buck Joffrey. Get ready to change your life.
Welcome, everybody. This is Buck Joffrey with the Wealth Formula Podcast coming to you from Montecito, California. And it is 2022 now. That's exciting and sort of scary how time keeps going forward. But Happy New Year to you. And I don't know about you, but I am looking forward to another profitable year of what I am calling the Roaring Twenties. And if you have been investing in real estate for the last several years, you are obviously doing very well. And that's the Roaring Twenties is making a lot of sense to you. But the big question on everyone's mind continues to be whether or not this market is too hot to continue investing. You know, you're going to always have people say, it's too hot. Even when 5 years ago, 6 years ago, so major players were out of the market entirely because they said the market's too hot. Well, see what's happened the last 5-6 years. They've lost a lot of money. But the reality is there's no one right answer to this question about, you know, is the market too hot? Is it okay to invest? In fact, when we talk about the real estate market, we aren't even talking about one market in the first place. I mean, what are we talking about? Real estate takes many forms. Right? Investing in single family homes in Oklahoma City is quite different than investing in apartment buildings in a DFW or Phoenix, Scottsdale, where the markets are just booming in terms of population growth. And neither one of those is anything like investing in non-performing notes. You know, each subsector of real estate is quite different. And when market cycles change, they react differently. Some have more exposure to recessionary environments than others. I mean, for example, you know, if you're investing in reperforming notes, like our guest today, George Newberry, is involved with, he's involved with, you know, non-performing notes and turning them to reperforming notes. But if you're investing in reperforming notes, maybe that's pretty risky right now for an economy that you think, you know, maybe it's hot and could go south at some point. Listen, one thing to remember is that most recessions are not catastrophic and do not necessarily hurt more stable assets nearly as much. I mean, we usually think about recessions, and the first thing that everybody thinks about is 2008. I should remind you that we went through an enormous recession here with COVID, and obviously there was a lot of government subsidies to make that not as bad. But there was also recessions before that, and a lot of times, you know, I remember being in high school and hearing that there was a recession and we're out of it and that happened and we didn't even know about it. You know, in other words, things slow down, things speed up. There's also a regular economy out there that doesn't involve catastrophes. So just keep that in mind, you know, because as I've said to you before, personally, my real estate strategy is not changing in 2022. And that's largely because of the kinds of real estate that I invest in. I mean, you know, very, very strong markets, working class, you know, service oriented housing. I mean, that's what I do mostly, right? And that's a little self-storage too. And I believe that in this space that we actually still have a few years of pretty significant runway profit. I do think this is the Roaring Twenties. I really do. And then when you think about the other options, right? Like not investing. Well, we've got significant inflation. So there's a risk to not investing. That's pretty high too. 6% inflation right now. So that means if you do nothing, you lose 6% of your money. That's guaranteed, right? So that's not making 6% or not making 6%. Whatever you don't, you're going to lose 6% if you don't invest. And finally, the investments we're making, you know, are in strong markets, in apartment buildings that have been traditionally more resilient than other real estate classes. So my perspective is not changing. But that being said, there are other opinions out there, and you should listen to them, and you should make your own decisions and see what you're investing in. You know, often those opinions are based, again, on what the specific of the individual's investing strategy are, right? What's the business model that they've been involved with? Like George Newberry, again, for example, has made a career out of investing in pools of non-performing notes. And the major strategy there for his group has been, you know, to negotiate with these non-performing notes, make them re-perform and keep people in their houses, and many times sell those re-performing notes at a profit. Now, listen, as you can imagine, if someone's defaulted on a note once, though, then the risk of doing it again will probably be a little bit higher than just some random person who's got a mortgage who they never defaulted on, right? Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that the approach each investor makes should be based on the specifics of their business model, their investment strategy, et cetera. And as you will see in this interview this week with George Newberry, he's doing what you might expect in terms of risk mitigation for uncertain times with non-performing notes. Very interesting stuff. George is always very smart guy, one of my favorite entrepreneurs, and you'll definitely get something out of this show. So when we come back, George Newberry. Worried about saving too little too late for retirement? The Wealth Accelerator may be exactly what you need. With the help of some of the oldest and most reliable insurance companies in the country, Wealth Accelerator allows you to take most of the upside of any good year in the stock market and use bank loans to magnify those returns significantly. And what if the stock market has a bad year? No need to fear. Wealth Accelerator is engineered so you don't participate in the losses of the market, no matter how bad of a year it is. Sounds too good to be true, right? But it's not. It's simply the same financial engineering that the ultra wealthy have been doing for years. Now it's your turn. Check it out for yourself by going to wealthformulabanking.com. Again, that's wealthformulabanking.com. Self-storage is a necessary evil. It's where you keep your stuff and forget about it. No wonder this stuff is so profitable and recession-resistant. The Wealth Formula community, well, we've benefited from that. We've made lots of money in this space with Reliant Real Estate, one of the largest self-storage companies in the country. With an average investor internal rate of return of almost 34%, with hold times just over 3.5 years, these guys know what the meaning of velocity of money is. If you're an accredited investor, make sure to check out what they're up to right now at ReliantFund4.com. Again, that's ReliantFund4.com. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, my guest on Wealth Formula Podcast, again, holds a record for the most appearances on Wealth Formula Podcast. But you know what? We don't even keep track of it anymore. It's been so many times. And he's actually the only sponsor that we allow on the show anymore as well. I don't know if you knew that either, George.
But, I didn't know that.
But of course, it is George Newberry, our old friend, our oldest friend to the show. And he is, if you don't know by now, you probably haven't listened for very long, but he is originally the founder and CEO of American Homeowner Preservation, which became AHP. It's morphed. There's so many different layers to this, but I'll let George explain that. George, welcome back to Wealth Formula Podcast. So why don't you take us where you've been here and where you're going? I mean, that is a story in and of itself.
Hey, I appreciate that, Buck. And I'm glad that you have me back. And I'm pleasantly surprised. I didn't know that we're the sole sponsor right now. So that's great.
We just stopped doing sponsorships. And so we get lots of, you know, we get a lot of people interested, but the problem is, you know, it's all about quality control from the podcast side. Like, I just don't really trust a lot of things that are out there on the, you know, people wanting to do sponsorships. But we have a long storied relationship between your businesses and Wealth Formula. So, I mean, it's the one sponsorship we feel very comfortable with, and I feel constantly comfortable, you know, continuing to support.
I appreciate that. And I know I was first a guest on your podcast when it was a long time ago. And I think your listenership has grown dramatically. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, I think the first time you were on, those 10 people that were listening were, I mean, they were enthusiastic. You might have gotten 5 investors out of that. So.
Yeah, it's literally been at least at least seven or eight years. So it's been a while.
Yeah. No, we're up to about, by the way, we're up to about 35,000 downloads a month now. So that's,
congratulations.
That's better that's than awesome. The 10 you were getting for your book.
That's fantastic. Right. Congrats on all that. So I'll give you an update on AHP and where we are today, you know, bit where we've been and where we are going. So AHP started out as American Home Under Preservation in 2008, originally a nonprofit. We with a mission of helping families at risk of foreclosure stay in their homes. We had thousands of families come to us and we would advocate on their behalf with servicers and banks. And we didn't get great results. And so we changed our approach and we started buying defaulted mortgages, primarily in low and moderate income neighborhoods across the country. And we could buy these at big discounts and we would be able to both positively impact these families by many times they wanted to stay. We were able to give them a modification where we cut principal, cut their payment, forgave some of the delinquency, and at the same time, generate good returns for our investors. So that was the beginning of AHP, the for-profit version of AHP. And in the last decade, we bought more than 10,000 mortgages. And it's more, as you shared, it's evolved into AHP is now not just a fund buying mortgages, but we also AHP Servicing, a national mortgage servicer. AHP Title, which we're about to talk about, is a title insurance company, which we intend to take from one state to a national title insurance company, as well as a handful of other related ancillary businesses that all kind of serve the same mission. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I've shared this, what our longer term goal is right now I'm 56. As you know, I have two young children at home. They're 15 months. I have twin boys. And my goal is by the time I'm 60, 2025, is to roll up all these companies. There's nine different companies, roll them all up and get them listed on the New York Stock Exchange. And that's my goal for when I turn 60. And we expect that in the between now and 2025, that there will be a significant downturn in the economy and particularly in the real estate market. And the demand for our businesses will spike significantly during that period. We'll be able to gain market share, increase our revenue, and then be prepared for taking the company fully public in 2025. So that is the goal. There's nine different entities. There's nine different presidents. I'm the CEO of all. And basically, I provide strategy and vision, and each president is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the companies. So we're on our ninth. This is our ninth fund. AHP Title is our ninth fund. And of those, the first five funds, the investors are fully paid off. On the there's two Regulation A funds, 2015 A plus and AHP Servicing, which we are closed and we're now redeeming investors. And then the two new funds are pre-REO and the one we're talking about today, AHP Title, which is the title insurance company.
That's good stuff, man. So this is, I've said it before, but George is, he is the, if I'm an entrepreneur, I'm like, and I consider myself sort of a raging entrepreneur, but George is sort of at the next level. He's already, on fire. He's already burned. He's just vapor at this point. Look at it. It's fantastic, man. So tell us about, let's start with this. So obviously some of your moves on the business side, if not all of them, are dictated by where we are in the economy and what you foresee. So tell me about how what's happening right now is affecting what you're doing, if it is or not.
Yeah, no, great question. We have bought very, very little in 2021. The market has been so, it's not news to anybody that the real estate market has been red hot the whole year, 2021. And during that year, we bought very little. We've made a handful of strategic investments that came to us, but we weren't out there actively buying. Go back to 2020, the year that COVID hit. In the second half of that year, we bought over $100 million. We entered into agreements to buy and actually bought over $100 million worth of defaulted mortgages. That was a time where there was still uncertainty about the future, and there were a lot of funds that were actively selling loans at favorable discounts. So we were a very active buyer. Today, we are a very active seller. Our goal is to those two funds, that are closed have a lot of loans and other assets in there. We are actively pushing resolution of those assets in order to pay back investors in those funds, because I'm nervous. We've gained a lot from the appreciation of the last 18 months plus. But at some point, this turns. And when it turns, I don't want to be sitting on $100+ million worth of assets. The market turns. And now I'm saying, ooh, if only I sold 6 months ago, I could have sold these for 10, 20, 25% more than I may be able to sell at that time. So we are acting with urgency. There's a lot of competing opinions into when this market turns. And certainly there's reasons to feel robust. I hear people say, no, this time it's different. You know, it's going to be, people always say that. It's not.
Remember the quote is the four most dangerous words in investing are this time it's different. And that was the Sir John Templeton quote from which I've brought up in the show several times now. But yeah, I mean, but on that note, though, a lot of people think it might be different because what we're seeing is very different from a behavioral standpoint of the Fed. Of fiscal stimulus that's on the horizon. So what do you make of that? Because one of the problems that I've had with economists on the show, the macro people that we talk to all the time, is there's always the caveat that, this is obviously super hot and the next stage would be this. But there's some crazy things happening in this economy. And, you know, all of a sudden you've got Omicron is a wild card. And does Omicron end up with shutdowns and then a massive stimulus package on top of that? And does that create, you know what I mean? There's so many variables out there. And at the end of the day, let me ask you this question. Is there a way that this could go on in perpetuity because the rules of the game have changed?
I don't think so. I think you look at history and there is an expansion and a contraction, expansion and contraction that's been going back for centuries. And then in recent history, you can go back for the last century and just see it repeats, expand, contract. And the larger the expansion, typically the larger the contraction. And I think it's healthy. I mean, that's the way an economy functions. It can't always go up. And it certainly can't always go down. I think it keeps things in checks and rebalances things on a periodic basis. And I think there were people, if you go back to 2007, there were a lot of very smart people on Wall Street, economists who were saying, no, this is sustainable. There may be a plateau, but it's going to keep going up after that. And people were investing based on that advice. And we all know what eventually happened and maybe that was even a little bit early 2007 or 2006 that they were making those predictions. But there was a lot of analysts whose models told us a lot different story than what actually happened, which, I mean, we all know was just a catastrophic collapse of the real estate market. And I don't know, it's hard to say what. There is a contraction in our future. And with, you just look back this era of COVID, this 18 months where there's been many markets have appreciated 30% in 18 months on top of the maybe 20% plus gains that they were experiencing, that we've experienced since the depths of the Great Recession. You put all that on top of each other. That's a lot of gains to give back. If we just went back to March of 2020, when COVID started, if pricing just reverted back to that, there'd be a massive number of homeowners who are significantly underwater. And I think the families who are greatest risk, and it's unfortunate, the families who are greatest risk are probably those who are buying today. And especially in places like where you are in California, that market has, all of California has just been on fire, literally too at some points, but figuratively, sorry.
But the market,
the real estate market there has just been extraordinary. But you can look back. I think there are signs already of the rate of appreciation slowing. So things are still going up, but at a slower rate. And I think most people will concede to that. Now, if you look at what happened last go round, 2006-07, you started seeing the rate of appreciation starting to drop. And so it was still going up, but at a slower rate. But there was a point, which is probably in late 2007, where, wait, things aren't just going up at a slow rate, at a lower rate. Now they're going down. It's depreciation. And then it was just a sharp drop. So yeah. I think we're on that part of where the appreciation slows. And then eventually it turns into depreciation. I think that's where we are now. We still have a ways to go. I think people are right that it's still reason to be rosy. And you're right. All the government stimulus and the low interest rates, cheap money, these are all fueling. It's extraordinary what's happened, are fueling this market. But I do think there is a reckoning coming, and people will be, hopefully people are not blindsided by it. In our mind, I exit. I'm a seller now, and we're being very careful with what we purchase to make sure that it's either something that we can get in and out of fairly promptly, or it's something that has, like we're doing with AHP Title, is we're buying government-backed loans. So to the extent there is a downturn, now we have a government backing to help protect against losses.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing, I'll tell you. I mean, even from the investing side, I think you know, multifamily and apartment buildings are a little bit different because we're valuing it based on net operating income in many cases, and that's being driven by rents and inflation, right? With 6% inflation right now. Mm-hmm. So it's a tricky thing because if you think of it from the standpoint of an investor, what's the smart thing to do? If you don't invest, if you're not buying things right now, you know, and being careful, I'm not saying over leverage, but if you're not buying things now and asset prices continue to go up, you're losing 6-7% a year, right? So what's your alternative to guess and for a couple of years and lose 14-20% of value of your money? Or, you know, what's the alternative? Do you see what I mean? For your typical investor.
No, I get that. But I mean, there's so many people who probably had thinking, maybe different elements to the thinking, but you know, in 2006, hey, buy. And it's still better to lose 6-7% than people are losing everything or all their investment in many cases. And you know, you mentioned multifamily. I agree. I mean, right now, the prices on multifamily are extremely strong, which is derived from the very low interest rates. Those interest rates, I was going to say have to, there's logic that at some point they tick up, which will impact values. I mean, you're right. There's a lot of different elements here, but I think every time there's an expansion, there are extraordinary, there's different elements. You still have the same historical cycle. I mean, last time these subprime loans, it was almost free money because people were getting loans no matter what they were qualified for.
Banks were in really bad shape then too. They're not now. And they're not now. And savings rates in people are at very significantly high levels compared to the last few decades. So I'm not saying that I think it's, you know, a party forever. I'm just saying that it's interesting to think about it because there are other variables. And so it's hard to I can see a recession at some point. It's inevitable, of course. But the question is, what is that recession look like? Is it the recession that used to happen when I was in like middle school, when you heard about a recession happening and recession happened and you heard about it on the news like 3 months later? Or, you know, not every recession has to be 2008.
Agreed. Yeah. So they could be much more milder and relatively mild. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, but the government can't prop us up forever. I mean, that's what's fueling this has fueled a great part of it.
I just think part of the tricky thing here is always like, you know, just from a playing devil's advocate here, of course, is that, you know, the debt, the printing of money and everything and the rates, this is like heroin, right? This is heroin. Right. They're not stopping. It feels good. They're going to keep going.
It does.
Keep going with this. Right. And before there was like this sense that, you know, you have to pay some attention to, no one's even talking about debt anymore. No one's even.
Yeah. Talking. The national debt used to be a big focus. I mean, people would get elected on prudent management. And now they're cheered on because if you're giving stimulus checks, well, keep the same guys in office that are getting these stimulus checks. And that's probably fueling the, you know, some people get those stimulus checks and they put them in the bank. I mean, they invest them, who knows what, but there's definitely, you know, a lot of that money has just floated into the economy and long-term. I mean, we'll see. I don't see history can tell us a lot. And
you have a lot. I mean, listen, there's at some point everybody has to start to, like, you know, make decisions based on, you know, what's happening in the economy, where their own risk and their, you know, you're carrying a lot of paper that has been rehabilitated. So there's also, I think there's additional risk to that, to not buying, you know, that kind of stuff right now too. Like, I mean, those notes might be at higher risk than some of the other stuff as well, right? I mean, that all plays into your strategy.
Well, I'll tell you, today and tomorrow, you know, last days of the year, we are closing massive numbers of reperforming loans. So think about this. We buy these loans, we modify them. The people get to stay in their homes. They start, once they made 6 or 12 payments on time, we can sell those as reperforming loans. Right. And those reperforming loans, we maybe in the past, we'd buy loans at 50 cents on of the debt, and then we'd exit at maybe 70, 75 cents. And we thought, well, that's a good business. Now, today we are exiting, literally today we're closing some trades. The average pricing is in the mid 90s. On these reperforming loans. And some of them are selling at like 105, 5 points over what is owed on the loan. The homeowner could come in and pay us 100 grand to pay off the loan. Somebody, you know, Wall Street backed hedge funds are paying 105,000 for that loan. It's just incredible pricing. So with that market, we're like, sell, modify as fast as possible, sell as fast as possible. And if the homeowner wants to stay and they're willing to do that, it's a great exit for us. Because these loans, they have no mortgage insurance generally. So there's an exit that is extremely healthy. I don't think that'll last forever. I mean, it's because there's so much money, there's so much cheap money. If our loans pay 5% or 6% and they have a record of paying and some of these Wall Street backed funds have cost of capital that's in the low single digits, they're making a spread. I understand why they're buying them. But that wasn't always there and it won't always be there.
Yeah. And I think what you're talking about too, is it sort of highlights the idea that, I mean, there are different parts of the real estate sector as well, right? So when you talk about, you know, reperforming notes, I mean, if you believe that we are approaching a period in time where, you know, there could be some corrections, could be big correction, who knows? Mm-hmm. Well, the last thing you want to probably be doing right now is buying reperforming notes, right? I mean, it's like it's already strike one with these notes. So if you're able to sell them, sell. That absolutely makes sense. So tell me about this next project, because I think part of what you've alluded to is that if you can buy notes that have mortgage insurance associated with them in this environment, that might actually protect you significantly in terms of your downside, your blind side, so to speak. And then at the same time, it sort of stays with your messaging as well, which is, you know, trying to do good. And so talk a little bit about how that works.
Sure. So in the past, we typically bought loans that had no government backing. And those were the loans that were the cheapest. We could buy them at big discounts. We always heard about, these loans that are backed by FHA or VA or USDA, they're available, but they always wanted a higher price. And we didn't feel that it made sense to pay the higher price. We could make more money and have a better, more social impact buying the uninsured loans. But now that's changing. Now I'm very, very concerned about the market at some point in the next couple of years entering a downturn. And at that point, if I'm sitting on $100 million worth of loans and now the market depreciates to just to the beginning of COVID, I am going to be in, you know, me and the investors will not be in great shape. So we're taking a, we changed our strategy, and with AHP Title, our focus is to buy government-backed loans. So this are our loans, again, backed by USDA, VA, and FHA, and our focus is VA loans. These loans carry a 25% guarantee. So to give you an example, if someone today gets a loan for $200,000, a VA loan, the VA agrees to guarantee $50,000 of it. So there's a loss of up to $50,000. The VA will step in, you make a claim, and they'll pay you however much is lost. So we can buy these VA loans once they get into default at maybe a 15% discount. So 1.5. So if it's a $200,000 loan and they've fallen behind six months on their payments, I can buy that loan. We can buy that loan for probably somewhere around $170,000. Now, if we can reach out to the homeowner and modify that loan and get them to pay several months on time, we can resell that loan with the government guarantee in place, and we can probably resell that loan at $200,000. So we can pick up a $30,000 gain. And now it's a reperforming loan, still has the VA guarantee. Now, if they don't pay and they don't make a deal, or we end up foreclosing and we end up only collecting $160,000, let's say, from the sale of the home, and you know the market's declined and whatnot, now we can make a claim for that $40,000 that was quote unquote lost. Now, we only paid $170,000 for the loan, but that doesn't matter. When we go and file the claim, they're going to pay it off the balance. So that would be the $40,000 quote unquote loss. So now we've ended up, we get the $40,000 from the VA, we've gained $30,000. That's the model. That's what we're doing with AHP Title. With an insurance company, we, in order to, for the insurance company to get credit and holding these in reserve, they have to be government backed. The insurance regulators, they have unbacked loans, the uninsured loans we can't carry on the insurance company's balance sheet, but we can carry these federally backed loans. So that is our model going forward. We think the timing is appropriate, because you know, in the past you buy one with a VA guarantee, and you probably, there weren't so many losses because the market kept appreciating. But now that there's risk of the market going down, we think it's a prudent investment to get from here to the other side. Once in the midst of the downturn, you know, we'll probably change our strategy to buying, you know, what all the uninsured loans that now have significantly declined in value, and we can buy them cheap. But today and for the foreseeable future, we think the prudent strategy is to buy government-backed loans.
So tell us from the investor standpoint what that looks like.
Sure. So this is, we crowdfund these. So anyone can invest, non-accredited and accredited investors. Minimum investment is $100. We make it very accessible to just about anybody. It's $100. But people invest $100. We have one person who invested $100 just to check it out. And, you know, 6 months later, they put in $1 million. So there's a lot of investors everywhere from the whole wide range of investment amounts. Our average investment is around $7,000. So they can go to ahptitle.com. They can choose how much they want to invest, and they can invest. And we pay out up to 7% return. It's distributed on a monthly basis. Typically, the money goes straight to the investor's bank account. And that is it. It's a five-year fund. All our funds are 5 years. You know, the goal is to return the money at the end of the 5 years. And in the meantime, we use it to, here we're building a national title insurance company and buying defaulted loans. And that is the strategy, which we think will take us from here to the next downturn. And then we may change our strategy, but this is one that I can feel comfortable with, I think, going forward.
Liquidity on this, is it the same concept?
Yeah, sure. So we offer best efforts liquidity. You can request your investment back at any time, and we will undertake our best efforts to return that money to the investor within 30 days. The caveat to that is if it's redeemed in the first year, the return goes from 7 to 5, and the second year goes from 7 to 6. The money stays in for 2 years. The investor gets to keep the full 7% return. And that is a feature that actually you helped us implement several years ago. And we used it. And up through COVID, we were always able to redeem within 30 days. COVID was, we had a massive number of redemptions, and we got behind, but that is, you know, other than that, we've been able to keep it within the 30 days.
And in terms of this, I mean, you kind of alluded to it before, but I think it's helpful to know because, you know, people who've invested with your various funds at times have had different returns, and this one's 7%. Do you feel like there's a difference in terms of the risk profile right now that justifies a slightly lower return?
Yeah, sure. I do. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I think buying the government-backed loans really mitigates risk significantly, especially with the potential for a downturn. So I do think that as a result, the returns are lower. Plus, we're in a lower interest rate environment. You know, in the past, our funds have been at higher rates, but also the interest rates in the market were at higher rates. So I think it's indicative of both of those.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, George, so remind us again, if we want to invest, what do we do?
Go to ahptitle.com and you can invest right there. There's an invest now button or give us a call and or email us. You know, all the contact information is on the site and we'd love to talk to you and answer any questions that any investors have.
George Newberry and his 500th appearance on Wealth Formula Podcast. George, thanks for being on the show, and I'm sure we'll talk to you in the next few months again.
All right, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks, Buck.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it, and again, Happy New Year to you. Hopefully, you know, you aren't freaked out too much from what George is saying. You know, look where his perspective is. He's coming from the non-performing space. I'm not saying that to make everything rosy. I mean, but things are kind of rosy right now. And for those of us who are holding a lot of real estate assets, and, you know, it may make sense to look at adjusting some business models a little bit, you know, even for the more stable assets. Like, you know, I think it is probably reasonable to think about taking some chips off the table. You know, locking in profits and continuing to reinvest in opportunities. That, you know, I don't think that this whole concept of a hot market and a cold market and, you know, the difference between a booming market and catastrophe is it's not just two things, right? It's not binary. We're going to go through some markets that are just going to be a little bit slower, a little bit faster, a little bit slower. That kind of stuff happens too. But investing is all about having a thesis, you know, and you having a thesis and sticking to it. So I think, you know, hopefully one of the things you're getting out of this show is, you know, helping you think critically about what you want to do. Again, for me, investment strategy's not changed yet. I'm still looking at this as the roaring 20s. I still think we have an opportunity to make a lot of money. Anyway, that's it for me this week on Wealth Formula Podcast. This is Buck Joffrey signing off.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Formula Podcast. Visit us on the web at wealthformula.com. The information contained in this podcast are opinions, not fact. As always, consult your own financial team before making any investment. See you next time.
Buck Joffrey here from Sapio with Buck Joffrey. Aging might become reversible over the next 10 to 20 years. It's already being done in lab animals, so it's just a matter of time. Our challenge? To be healthy enough for when that time comes. As a former scientist and surgeon myself, my goal is to figure out how to do that and to share it with you. I wrote a book called Living Longer for Busy People that you can download for free at sapiopodcast.com. You'll be amazed at just how a few daily adjustments can add years of a healthy life for you. Again, download it for free, sapiopodcast.com.